glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, April 12th, 2016. We'll continue our celebratory remarks about our wonderful 20th anniversary celebration as co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo joins me in the studio tomorrow for the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. But a few weeks ago, I had a conversation with Dr. David Brausma. He's an associate professor of TESOL and linguistics at Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee, coming to the Moody Bible Institute this Saturday for an ESL ministry conference. You'll hear all about it in just a moment. And this website will be referenced a few times, moody.edu/ESL-conference. And I hope many of you will sign up and join Holly and I this Saturday in Chicago and in the Moody Bible Institute Conference. Here's the conversation I had recently with Dr. David Brausma. So, David, I'm so thankful you're available. This is a busy time of year for you with testing and end of quarter or semesters and schoolwork and planning and all that's going on. And yet you're coming to the Chicagoland area on April 16th. I'm excited because Holly and I are going to be attending. But for our listeners unaware of what an ESL ministry conference is and what will be happening in Chicago on the Moody campus on April 16th, what should they expect or be aware of, or why should they attend?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a loaded question. I think I asked you about eight things in one.
No problem. It's great to be with you. And the Love and Action Conference that actually Moody Bible College and Wheaton College together are jointly putting on up in the Chicago area is something that's been going on for about 11 years. And it's really quite a unique conference because it's for a wide range of different people. It could be for people who are just thinking about possibly getting involved in a ministry of teaching English to people who are non-native speakers of English, or it could be people who've already been involved. They have different tracks for people who are just beginning, and they have tracks for people who are more professional and been at it for a little bit longer. And it's unique in the fact that it talks both about methodology of language teaching, but also about ministry ideas. And it's really the largest type of conference of its type that I'm aware of. And, you know, I have never been to this conference myself because I've lived overseas for many years. But the people who are presenting it are people that I know of and have met, and they are really top-notch. It's going to be a great conference.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. In fact, I learned about it from Helen Kaufman, who oversees this outreach ministry to internationals at the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church. And what's unique about the church is 7 days a week, Sunday through Saturday, they have different conversational English classes, whether it's in the evening or at noontime or on Sunday morning. And internationals literally from all over the world attend. And I facilitate a class on Saturdays, and from Taiwan, South Korea, China, Brazil, Vietnam. I mean, it's just interesting how these different people want to engage with the American culture, want to learn English, and they're vibrant and interesting and fun-loving, and it's a great group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it really is amazing when you get involved with people who are from all of these different places, and they're people with fascinating stories, usually. Mm-hmm. I know I've learned so much from interacting with people from different countries here in America and abroad.
Now, I'm going to give the website for our listeners to find out more at the end of the program also. But if you want to know more about Moody's special conference called Love in Action ESL Ministry, and that's English as a Second Language at the Moody Bible Institute being put on by Moody and Wheaton College, you can stop by moody.edu/ESL-conference. That's moody.edu/ESL-conference. And as I mentioned, I'm looking forward to it. So what's some of the nuts and bolts? Like, people are going to come up. It begins at 7:30 in the morning, goes all day long till about 4:45. What would they anticipate or expect?
Well, there will be one plenary session. That will be the one that I'm going to be speaking in, which is about, is kind of an overview of, well, I guess I would call it more of a pep talk, kind of why it's important to be doing this and what are some of the themes, biblical themes and other ways of thinking about teaching English that might motivate us to want to be involved in this kind of a ministry here in the U.S. So that will be one main session with everybody together. But then the rest of the day will be broken up into different workshops. And as I said, there are different tracks, so you can decide what level works best for you. There's a new teacher track, which covers things like language learning principles and lesson planning and things like that. Mm-hmm. There's a professional track. I'll be teaching one of the courses in that track as well. And this is just for people with a little more experience. And then there's a ministry and methodology track. So it's more of how to incorporate your Christian thinking into English language teaching. So there are a lot of different possibilities, and you can mix it up if you're interested in things from different tracks. It'll be a great day.
You mentioned Christian ministry, which begs the question, being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, what's some of your own faith journey, and how did you see this fitting into what you do or wanted to do? Was there like a special calling, or did you have a heart for internationals, or you read scripture one day and said, God tells us to reach out to the foreigner? What got you involved in this study?
Well, I think probably the earliest thing that had an influence was just my own family background. My father was a professor at Purdue University for many years and had a real heart for reaching out to students of all kinds, but over the years began to really have much more of a ministry to people who had come to Purdue University from many different countries. And so around our family and in our church, we had people literally from all over the globe. So that was a really eye-opening kind of experience, just realizing how enriched our lives were by interacting with these people. But when I graduated from high school, I ended up going overseas, and I lived in Micronesia for a couple of years and traveled, lived in Korea for a couple of years. Then I didn't actually start my undergraduate at Purdue University until I was 25, so I took kind of an unusual path to getting higher education. But by that time, I had realized that I was more interested in language as a vehicle for reaching others. And so I started by doing an English degree, and then I did a master's and a PhD in second language acquisition.
And that was right here at the University of Illinois.
That's right. Yes, I did a master's degree in TESOL at the University of Illinois and then a PhD in educational psychology, but it was a specific program called Second Language Acquisition and Teacher Education.
Now mention what the TESOL, T-E-S-O-L, stands for, and then we have to do a little shout-out for Kathy. When did you two meet up?
Well, TESOL stands for Teaching English to Speakers of Other Languages, but there are a lot of different acronyms in this field. ESL standing for English as a Second Language and so on. And I do want to shout out to my wonderful wife. She's a woman of great character, and I love her to pieces. And she and I met actually when we were in a Bible school program in the Washington, D.C. area. And we've both been involved in this journey, and she received a master's in TESOL from a university in Lithuania that I'm involved with, LCC International University, a couple of years ago. And so she's also teaching English here in Cleveland, Tennessee, where we live now.
Now, you have four children. What are their ages, and what's something unique about parenting for?
I have one boy, Andrew, who's 27, and then three girls who range in age from 19 to 23. I'm sorry, that's not right. Yeah. See, I need my wife here for this, but no, she's 24. I mean, one thing that's been unique about parenting them is that they were all raised in Moscow, Russia, where we lived for 17 years. So they have had a unique experience of kind of reintegrating back to life here in America as they've come back to go to university and so on. And it's been a challenge in many respects to learn how to live in America when you have grown up in a context that is very different. We moved to Moscow in 1997, and my children were at that time 8 years old to 1 year old. So, you know, for Andrew, our oldest, he was in third grade when we moved there. And then the rest of them basically did their entire grade school through high school experience living in Moscow. And so we had a lot of interaction with other Americans and other international folks who were living there. But we also, you know, were very involved in a Russian church, and we had a lot of Russian friends. So they didn't have a typical American childhood.
Now, what drew you to Russia? Was it academics, or was it like the job or the position or further study?
Well, it was a little bit of all of the above. My wife and I both knew when I was in school that we both were interested in going back out to be involved in Christian work in different parts of the world. And in the early 90s, of course, when things were starting to open up in Eastern Europe and Russia, we began to take a closer look at that. And about the time I was getting close to finishing my PhD, I came in contact with someone who was just starting a Christian university in Moscow, and they needed somebody who had my background. They were starting this Christian university that was, the students did half of their classes in Russian and half in English. So they needed an intensive English program, and I came initially to start that program, and I ended up working with that university for 14 years.
Wow, how many languages are you familiar with or are you fluent in?
Well, I'm really only fluent in English and Russian, but I've studied all kinds of other languages at different times in my life. I just haven't gotten that far in them.
Wow. Well, in case you just tuned in, I have David Brozma on the line with me. He's going to be coming to the Chicagoland area, specifically to the Moody Church, on Saturday, April 16th, to help facilitate the ESL conference that Moody Bible Institute and Wheaton College are putting together. I'm excited to attend to learn how to be more effective in a setting where you can interact with internationals and teach them English. My unique class is representative of a lot of different countries, and they're just hungry. Some of them are visiting scholars or the spouses of professors that are here for 1 year at the University of Illinois, and they're really interested in our culture and understanding, obviously, how to converse and understand things. And it's such a simple thing to do. In fact, I think they like the class, or like many of the American teachers, because we tend to be a little more animated. You get some of like the Chinese or different parts of the world where they're a little more stoic or straight-faced. And so I think they get entertained and are interested, and they're passionate about learning. And so it's really a wonderful thing. So I wanted to get you on, David, just to encourage our listeners to come up to Chicago. It's just like about a $50 cost. I mean, it's well worth it. It's all day long from 7:30 to 4:45 on Saturday, April 16th. And so for maybe somebody that can't make it up, obviously, that would be a number of our listeners. Do you have maybe some tips or ways of reaching out to our internationals to share the love of God, but maybe do it in a very non-threatening or open or easy way?
I think if we're thinking about reaching out to our international neighbors, I think that one of the first things that we need to really take seriously is the fact that every human being is created in the image of God and therefore is valuable and worthy of our attention. And, you know, the New Testament and the Old Testament both speak frequently about the importance of treating strangers and aliens in the land well, with hospitality. And I think that that is something that we really have an obligation as Christians to be involved in doing. And the reality is that people who are coming to a country like America, for example, from other countries, really just need neighbors. They need people who are willing to listen to them and talk to them, help them to negotiate life here. If you have grown up your whole life here in America, it's hard to imagine how much knowledge you have about living your life here in America, that for somebody who comes from outside, they are completely cut off from. They don't have any knowledge of those things. And so simple things like helping people to figure out how to do a doctor's appointment, or, you know, how to understand the mail that they're receiving, you know, that tells them that they've won $1 million or something when it's really just a scam or whatever. You know, just being available to people. And the thing I've discovered is that actually I end up benefiting so much more than anybody I've ever helped in that process, because they have such rich experiences. They're interesting people. They're very hospitable on their own account and want to have you over and be friends with you. And so it's really not a burden to be involved in this kind of a ministry.
Yeah, I know I've helped a few with driver's lessons or, you know, rules of the road. They bring in their little booklet and they want to try to identify what the signs are. I mean, some very simple things that we take for granted, like you mentioned, or even what grocery stores to go to. Or somebody says, is there a place to get clothing? And, you know, they say there's some like a Tusco mall. And I'm like, oh, Tuscola. Oh, I understand. So it's kind of interesting to share very simple things or idioms. We did a couple weeks of just talking about the American idioms that we say all the time. It's raining cats and dogs or burning the midnight oil. And they don't understand, you know, their culture, their language, they have them, but it's so foreign to them. They're like, what's that mean? It cost me an arm and a leg. It's fun to just work through the very simple things. So anyone can do it. And this training that's going on in Chicago would be, like you said, either for a beginner or somebody that's seasoned that has done this maybe for years to be with other colleagues and fine tune their skills.
Right. Exactly. There are a lot of different levels that you can come into this teaching English on. I mean, you can do conversation classes and talk with people about things, and it doesn't require a ton of preparation ahead of time to be able to do that. Just get people talking and be a patient listener. But if you want to really help people get from kind of ground zero and figure out how to really use the English language in a more significant way, it can be really helpful to have some training to know how to do that. It isn't always just enough to be a native speaker.
Right. Well, I kind of had an agenda, David. You didn't know this, but we're in our 20th year as a radio ministry, and I just keep praying literally daily. I don't think I've ever prayed for one specific thing more passionately, but I'm hoping God's going to raise up a Great News Radio event center someday. And I would love at least 5 or 6 days a week to host conversational English classes. And I'd love a lot of our listeners to be familiar with some of the techniques or the tools or the ways to pour into these international seekers, these people that are coming to our country, and spend some time getting to know them, but helping them. And by being Christians, you know, if the conversation is appropriate or there's a transitional time or you want to discuss why do we celebrate Easter or Christmas, you know, you can open up whole doors of witnessing opportunities. And so I'm really hoping some of our listeners are going to attend this conference, get some training, and then who knows that if God does raise up a Great News Radio event center, I'll have a call out there. Hey, are you available from 9 to 10:30 Monday through Friday for conversational English classes? And what they say, if they build it, they will come. I trust that if we get this event center, this meeting place, that the internationals will come and will have a great need for volunteers. So I'm hoping our listeners will attend. You can find out more at moody.edu/ESL-conference. That's moody.edu/ESL, and that stands for English as a Second Language -conference, and it's happening on Saturday, April 16th from 7:30 to 4:45, so it's an all-day event, and Holly and I will be attending, and we're looking forward to meeting you, David, learning from you. You've been all over the world, and you're currently serving at Lee University in Cleveland, Tennessee, and appreciate your heart for the internationals, and wow, you've been all over the world, and your time in Russia, I was thinking, I heard somebody saying that there's a growing movement of Christians in Russia. Can you touch on that at all? Because Russia is so foreign to so many of us. We just don't know what's going on over there. And how is the church? Was it thriving? Was it seemingly evangelical? Or what was the preaching like?
Well, the Russian church situation is that, you know, many people are nominally Orthodox. So most people that you'd bump into would consider themselves Orthodox, even if they never go to a cathedral or anything. But only about 2% of the population are actively anything, mm-hmm. you know, like either Orthodox or evangelical or some other label.
Sure.
The number of Protestants is quite small. It's quite a small number, but there's a wonderful, vibrant Protestant church alive in Russia that mm-hmm. are, you know, reaching people and doing wonderful things. It's still just quite a small percentage of the population. Mm. And, of course, you know, they've overcome a lot of different things over the years mm-hmm. and still have to overcome sometimes prejudice against people who are not, strictly speaking, Orthodox, you know, in the Russian Orthodox mm-hmm, sense of mm-hmm. the word. And so, it can be very challenging there, but there is a beautiful, thriving church there.
Well, David, I appreciate your time. I appreciate that you're going to be coming to our area. How can our listeners be praying you up in the weeks ahead as we prepare for this April 16th conference at the Moody Church in Chicago, also in conjunction with Wheaton College putting on this Love in Action ESL Ministry Conference?
You know, I think that it's more strategic than ever before that we figure out how to really love those who are our neighbors from other countries mm-hmm. here. So I would really appreciate prayer that this conference really would help people to get out there and do the work, you mm-hmm. know, just get out there and meet people and help them to not only know English, but to meet the Savior as well.
Hmm. Well, we'll be praying you up, and I appreciate you being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends, David.
Great. Well, I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
All right, Great News Radio listeners, the ESL Ministry Conference 2016, sponsored by Moody Bible Institute and the Wheaton College, is coming up to the Moody campus on April 16th. It's a Saturday, 7:30 to 4:45. David Brosma is one of the featured speakers, along with other workshops and sessions, so it'll be a full day of great learning, and I encourage you to stop by moody.edu/ESL-conference to learn more, moody.edu/ESL-conference. Hey, thanks,
well,
David.
I appreciate that.
All right, take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. That was my conversation with Dr. David Brosma, as recorded a few weeks ago over the phone. I hope many of you will come out this Saturday up to the Moody Bible Institute and be a part of this 11th annual ESL Ministry Conference, because who knows, God may call you to be a part of an international ministry in a very simple way, just by teaching conversational English or conversing with the many internationals right here in our area. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.